good morning.
Good morning.
Now, I have been told that New Englanders were hardy, and it's only raining. Where is everyone this morning? Anyway, welcome. And welcome to First Congregational Church of Westfield. Whoever you are and wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. We do have some announcements to share with you. First of all, the Christian Fellowship Luncheon has been postponed to a date to be named. So there will be no Christian Fellowship meeting this week. All right, so we're not having that. Today, Safe Church Training after, I was going to say after school, after church, please meet Michelle and Martha in Fellowship Hall. All key holders must be retrained on Safe Church policies. If you have questions, please see Martha or Michelle. There are no church services here at 9:30 next week. We're asking you to join us in Southwick at 11, or if you haven't checked out one of our contemporary services at 4:30, you're welcome to do that. It'll be our last one before we break that cycle for the summer. So we'll have our last contemporary service at 4:30, and that's in Fellowship Hall. A little more laid back. A reminder to those who received invitations to the 4 Score and More Luncheon to RSVP with Cindy LaPlante. Also, if you'd like to volunteer to assist with the 4 Score and More Luncheon, you can see Cindy or Martha as well. On Tuesday, May 5th, and you'll see a poster up for this, but I just wanted to put this in your heads a little bit, our heads, is that through the Handen Association of the Southern New England Conference of the United Church of Christ, I did that all in one breath, there's going to be a meeting or a workshop that lets us do a little bit of visioning for the future. And I have been talking to our church council about this. What do the next 5 years hold for First Congregational? What do the next 10 years hold for First Congregational Church? We are in excellent shape. We are solid financially. Normally, we're solid with attendance. And we're in very good shape. Other churches might need to start looking to see, what do we do? But I still want us to take a look at some of that. So if you join us on Tuesday, May 5th, right here, and you'll see a sign, and you can see me if you're interested in coming. Hopefully some of our church council members will be able to join us. Now, I also, since I talked about the UCC, I want to talk about the NACCC, which is the National Association of Congregational Christian Churches, because First Congregational Westfield is affiliated both with the United Church of Christ and the National Association of Congregational Christian Churches, NACCC. They actually just say NA. But Steve Pierce is going to have an article in our upcoming newsletter that talks about a couple of opportunities through the NACCC. So just be on the lookout for those, please. I figured I'd do equal time. So, all right. And way in the future, at the end of May, we have our joint service here with Southwick, just to kind of sweeten the pot and to get you to come to church. We're having pancakes with the pastor after church. So big pancake breakfast after church on May 31st. Are there any other announcements this morning? Hearing none. Let us worship God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please join me in the call to worship found printed in your worship guide. Even if we feel abandoned and alone,
Christ is us here.
Even when we feel when we become lost and disoriented,
Christ rescues us in our need.
Even when our hearts are touched by the frost,
Christ
light has faded to black.
Christ illumines our way.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Please join me in the opening hymn, O For a Thousand Tongues to Sing, found in the blue hymnal number 299. Our first reading is from the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, Brothers, what should we do? Peter said to them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. Our God is still speaking.
Thanks be to God.
Please join me in a responsive reading taken from Psalm 116. What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me?
I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones.
O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your serving girl. You have loosed my bonds.
I will offer to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your mountains, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord.
Our gospel reading this morning comes to us from Luke's gospel, the 24th chapter, where I will begin with the 13th verse. Now, on that same day, the day of the resurrection, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Clopas, answered him, "Stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there these days?" Jesus asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women from our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came to the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he was going on. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed, broke it, and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The word of God for the people. Found yourselves down or depressed about a situation, and then something happens, or you encounter someone, and it cheers you up. Maybe you were down about your job, or something you were involved with, and feeling as though your time is not well spent. Or maybe you had hopes and dreams squashed in a series of events, only to have something happen that would brighten the way for you. Well, here we have Simon and Clopas walking home to Emmaus from Jerusalem after they had been in the city for the festival of the Passover. It was during this time that they had witnessed the mob scene, the crucifixion, and heard of the resurrection of Christ. Now they walked because there was no other mode of transportation. The majority of the people in this era walked if they needed to get somewhere. It was usually done in a pack or at least with another person. On this walk, they were participating in what a friend of mine calls a post-mortem of an event. Did you ever get together after a party and maybe you're sitting around at home and you're talking about, well, this happened at the party, wasn't this cool when this happened? And, well, they were doing the same thing except discussing what was going on in Jerusalem at the time. They discussed the event and what they would like to remember. And I'm sure that many of us have engaged in the same activity. As we just said, after a party or even a funeral or an event. And Simon and Clopas, as we said, doing the same thing. And it becomes easier as they are introduced to a stranger who seems unaware of what was going on. Now, Simon and Clopas had been through the gamut of emotions from A to Z and were happy to share them with this stranger. And according to their custom, they invited this person to share a meal with them. It was here that they recognized the risen Christ in their presence. Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us? How often do our hearts burn? No, not heartburn, but when our hearts are filled with passion about something or someone, do our hearts burn with the love of Jesus? Do we recognize Jesus in the ordinary part of the day? Sometimes we have people come by the church because they need something, such as financial assistance, or even someone to listen to them and to pray with them. That's happened with me on more than one occasion. It's there, more often than not, that I recognize the face of Jesus in someone else. It was interesting to spend time with the neighbors this winter. Our guests who came for lunch on Mondays and Thursdays were greeted at the door, shown to fellowship hall, served lunch, and provided with an opportunity to experience community. Those who volunteered can attest to this. And Jesus tells us, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in your midst. Recognizing the presence of Christ in our neighbors was an awe-filled experience. when we walk or move or even sit with others, we can find ourselves in deep conversation, much like the one that Simon and Clopas were having. By our very actions, we find ourselves sharing our faith. And as we share our faith, I firmly believe that we're able to deepen our own. I'd like to encourage everyone to invite someone to either walk with them in the coming weeks, or to sit with them, or just be with them. Don't go out in the rain today, but you can do so, or have somebody come with you. Go for a ride, even, to be with them. Invite them to walk with you here at church. When's the last time we invited someone to come to church with us? We can also share posts on social media, such as Facebook, Instagram, where the invitations are there, ready to be shared. My friends, we can go on a physical or virtual walk to recognize the presence of Christ, to feel our hearts burn, to symbolize the transformative power of God, and perhaps even turn our disappointment into mission. Or we can recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread, not only at communion when we celebrate it here, but any time that you share a meal with someone. This week, take a walk or spend some time with others to share, to wonder, sing, maybe even dance if that's what you want to do, or simply be in the presence of God. May we all be moved to recognize Jesus in the people we meet. Feel our hearts burn with the transformative power of Christ, and even move from disappointment to mission. And, much like Thomas in our reading last week, may our doubt turn to faith. Amen. Let's take just a moment of quiet reflection. As we come to prayer this morning, we're ever mindful of our prayer list, people who have asked for our prayers, and that we've listed them here in our worship guide. Please, as you pray during the week, take this home and remember those people as well to your daily prayer. We pray for our world and our world leaders. We pray for an end to violence everywhere, to war, that peace may reign. We pray for our country, for our country's leaders, and for our own areas, our regional, our own cities and towns, and those who lead them. And of course, as we do each week, we remember those prayers that remain in the silence of our hearts, known only to us and to God. And may God be with you.
And also with you.
Please pray with me. Risen One, like those disciples on the road to Emmaus, we struggle to recognize you in the everyday journey of our lives. We seek your wisdom in the midst of the questions we have about the circumstances we find ourselves in. Circumstances sometimes beyond our control, but often of our own making. Open our eyes, light of the world, to your work of transformation in and around us. As we walk with you day by day, may your new life be made manifest in what we say to others. Help us to understand the power of our words to hurt or to heal. Give us the graciousness to make all our conversations holy. Just as we desire that our speaking be holy, may our seeing be holy as well. We are bombarded with images every day, O God, that shape our attitudes and behaviors. As you opened the scriptures to the disciples and taught them everything, open our eyes to behold you in your word, in the beauty of nature, the beauty of another human being, and the beauty of sacred art. And in our seeing, help us recognize and welcome the stranger in our midst. May our welcome be a celebration of the gifts and graces of persons who are different from us, and not merely some token tolerance of an outsider. You were made known to the disciples in the breaking of the bread. May your resurrection presence guide us in the decisions we make about what we take into our bodies, especially what we eat and what we drink. Help us to understand our eating and drinking as sacred events, not to be abused or approached mindlessly. So often we forget, Holy One, that you invite us to abide with you, to have our lives hidden in you. We thank you that you travel with us in our joys and our concerns. My friends, like the disciples at Emmaus, we offer what we have. They offered their company, their table, and their bread. With this in mind, we can offer our own gifts as our morning offering is received. Thank you.
Lord,
let us learn to recognize Christ in our midst. As our hearts burn within us, we will recognize his whispers to our souls. And as we experience Christ in the smile of another, let us share the love with one another. And as the scales fall from our eyes, we will see Easter miracles all around us. Let us go with God's blessings. Amen.